Well, we're taking, obviously, maybe it's not obvious. We're taking a little break, a tiny break for today from our Bible Basics sequence, and we're heading all the way to the book of Jude. So if you want to head to Jude, I didn't tell David ahead of time, but he's amazing. Did I tell you ahead of time? Oh, I did. Good for me. Okay. We're looking at the book of Jude. It says Jude chapter 1 up there, but there only is one chapter in Jude, so it should be easy to find. Jude chapter 1, the one and only chapter 1, and we're looking at the very last two verses of Jude. This little letter was a letter that was written for the general distribution among the people of God, wherever it went. It was an encouragement to the people of God. Oh, bye, children. Bye. Behave yourselves. Be good. And so this letter is just a general encouragement and admonition to carry on in faithfulness and perseverance. And the very end of this is Jude's doxology, his praise to God. And it's particularly appropriate on a Thanksgiving Monday. And so this is what Jude says at the close of his letter. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord. This little passage is so beautiful and encouraging to me, and hopefully it will be to you. Listen to what Jude says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To him who is able to keep you from falling. First of all, that is a great comfort because, oh man, on my own, I am very clear and know very well that I am very prone to falling. In fact, it's worse than that because often the proneness that I have is not just to fall, to stumble and fall, but to rebelliously choose the wrong. That is my proclivity. That is my tendency. I want to rebel against God. There is some part of me that does, right? And I'm not sure, you know, all of the details of exactly why that happens. I know it has very much obviously to do with sin and pride, but perhaps it also has to do with, for me, not wanting to be put in a box. I don't know if you can identify with that. I don't want somebody to be able to label me. Gwyneth and I have been looking at something called the Enneagram, which is a personality thing or whatever. And I'm a 4 on the Enneagram, which is the romantic or what else?
The individualist.
It also means that I want to be unique and special. That's what I want to be. Everybody has their own things, right? They have their own desires, their own wants, their own needs. I want to be unique and special, even in my suffering, even in my badness, whatever it is. And so for me, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling is a huge comfort. Because in my brokenness, I don't want to just stumble. I want to say, you can't categorize me as a good person. I'm bad. And that makes me unique and special. It's pathetic, I know. But you have your things. Maybe some of you can identify with what I've just said about me. Maybe you have other reasons why you want to rebel. Gwyneth is a 2 on the Enneagram. Why do you want to rebel or do things that are stumbly and broken?
I want to be the one who offers the
help. Right. Gwyneth wants to be the one who offers the help. She doesn't want to rely on God to provide the help. She wants to be the one who helps, which sounds good at first, but really, in a weird sort of way, she's kind of trying to hog the glory for herself. She wants the affirmation of others. Right? What is the thing that makes you stumble? Maybe you can identify with Gwyneth. Maybe you can identify with me. There are 9 types on the Enneagram. Maybe there's some other ones. But regardless, Jude says, God is able to keep us from stumbling. I don't have to thumb my nose at God and say, I'm a bad person. I'm unique and special. Gwyneth doesn't need to hog all the helping glory to herself. We don't have to stumble anymore because God is able to do that. And then secondly, of course, Jude says God is able to present you before his glorious presence. That in itself is huge. Think of all the biblical writers who even had a taste of the presence of God. What did they do? What did they always do? They fell on their faces. They cried out, woe is me. I am unworthy. I am a person of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips. All of them had to plead for their very lives because when they were confronted with even the tiniest taste of the presence of God, the glory of God, they realized just how desperate their situation was and just how much they could not be there and live. And so for Jude to say, not only can God prevent you from stumbling, but so too God can present you, Jesus can present you before his glorious presence, that in itself is stunning. That there will be a day, and indeed there is even now a reality, that even now we are in the heavenly presence. We are standing in the glory of God, and we are not overwhelmed. We are not destroyed. But instead, we can stand in his glorious presence. And of course, that just, the cherry on the top is that we are not only presented in front of his glorious presence, but we are presented so without fault. Without fault. Right? Without fault. Right? So God doesn't see all of our warts and blemishes. And I'm not talking about actual warts and blemishes. I'm talking, of course, about our sins. He doesn't see that. He sees beautiful, perfect Andy Veerman. Yeah, Edith is like, right. But he sees beautiful, perfect Edith too, right? It's impossible to imagine. How could God see us that way? Right? Because we both know between God and myself and God and you, we both know that that's not real. Except it is. Right? The reality that we see every day, every moment of every day, is flawed and broken and blemished and warts and all. Dan or Randy or Alex or whomever, right? This is what we see, but that's no longer who God sees. I don't understand how the miracle happens, because God, through His Holy Spirit, is still working in us to help clean house. God knows full well in His Holy Spirit what's going on in Ava's heart, which is probably not very good right now. But His Holy Spirit is living in there, cleaning house, you know, making it good. So that not only is she saved, she is being cleansed. And somehow, beyond time and space, she is both being cleansed and beautiful, perfect, already clean, Ava. Right? Weird. Amazing. So God is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, which is even more amazing. Right? God doesn't go, well, I'm gracious and merciful and holy and righteous and justice and loving, so I guess I'd better accept Trevor. I guess I have to. Right? No, he says, Trevor! Just like Dad would say to anybody else. Trevor, I love you. I'm so excited that you are here. With great joy. Think about that with Mike Wiedenauer, of course, who passed away just recently. We all know that Mike wasn't perfect any more than any of the rest of us are perfect, except he was. He was, through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Mike was presented before God by Jesus into His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And that's one of the most bizarre things at all, in such a wonderful way. It's no wonder that Jude has this doxology going on, this praise to God. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This is the message of thanksgiving at its heart. That our God, through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, the great three in one, has brought us, has kept us from stumbling, has brought us into His presence, before the glorious presence, without fault and with great joy. Brothers and sisters, this Thanksgiving Monday, if you're having turkey dinner or whatever, if you're getting together with family, by all means, be grateful for these things. But more than that, realize this reality and be grateful for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you sent your Son, that your great love sought to overcome even our rebellion and brokenness, and that you did so through Jesus, who in perfect obedience lived and died and rose again, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn of all of us who will rise from the dead with bodies that are perfect and imperishable. The firstborn of those who are presented before you without stain or blemish. The firstborn the firstborn son, who can keep us from stumbling. Lord, thank you. Thank you that through your Son, we are presented without fault before your throne. Thank you so much that we are presented before your throne not only without blemish, but with great joy. It is a mystery. And it is so far beyond our understanding in so many ways how this could be possible. But yet we know it is. We know it is because of your Son Jesus, because of the testimony of the Scriptures, because of the testimony of all the faithful who have gone on before us. We know it is true because of the testimony of your Holy Spirit living within us. We know it is true because of the testimony of creation itself, singing your praises. We know that it is true because it is your promise. So we humbly, in great awe, receive your promise with gratitude forever. In Jesus' name, amen.